Don't become sharers in demons. Don't become sharers in demons. Now, that's not a line that I thought up, though it's a good one. You know, that's not a message that I delivered to you, though it's a good one. That's a message right out of the Word of God and the text that we're going to use today. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, I want you to see, do we have that text of Scripture? Let's put that up. I want you to look at this, and that's the title of the message. Don't become sharers in demons. Listen as I read the Word of God. It says, is not the cup of blessing which we bless a sharing in the blood of Christ? Is not the bread which we break a sharing in the body of Christ? Since there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread. But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to what? They sacrifice to demons and not to God. And then the Apostle Paul says to you this morning, and says to me this morning, and I do not want you to become sharers in demons. We've been talking a lot about why bad things happen to godly people. We've looked at 20 different principles that explain why bad things happen to godly people. And over the last 5 weeks, we've been looking at the hidden spirit principle. But do you realize that there are not only hidden spirits that want to embed themselves into our lives, but there are also those spirits that aren't embedded in our lives, but they are invited into our lives by us. And the Apostle Paul in chapter 10, when you look at that context, he is saying, he's talking to them about idolatry. Now he says, now we know that an idol is nothing. A figurine, you know, a statue, a tree, or it's nothing. It might be wood, it might be metal, it might be any number of things, but it's nothing. There's only one God. But people worship idols. And what happens when they worship idols is that demons take up residence in the idols. Demons find a way to work themselves in to the idol. Now, what's an idol? Well, an idol can be anything that you put before God. Anything that you put before God. How about this one? How about the idol of time? You know, we can take our time, and all of us have the same amount. We're not going to get any extra time. If you're looking for more time, it's not going to be created. There's 24 hours. There's 7 days. There's 365 in a year. But what you do with your time can become an idol. And when you have your time wrongly invested, then a demon will come along and infect itself into your time. And it will begin to dominate your life. So Paul talked to them about idols. In chapter 10, he talked to them about immorality. And then he talked to them about temptation. Anybody been tempted this week? Let no man say when he's being tempted, he's tempted of God. But every man's tempted when he's drawn away by his own lust. And with his own lust, what's on the inside of you gets enticed by that. But here's something else that he says in chapter 10. He says that there's no temptation that's ever come into your life that's not common to all mankind. In other words, every temptation that any human being will ever have, another human being's already had it. And another human being is going to have it. Temptation is universal to mankind. But here's what he says about our temptation. But with every temptation, God is faithful. Tell your neighbor God's faithful. with every temptation, not most, with every temptation that we have, God is faithful to do something for you. And listen to what he says God's faithful to do. God's faithful to provide you the way of escaping. God's faithful. But let me tell you something about temptation. Temptation is like a fast-moving river. And the way of escape of that temptation is in that river. You've got to make up your mind before that river of temptation comes by you that if God's providing a way of escaping that temptation, I'm going to take it. Because you can't wait until you're in the middle of the temptation trying to figure out what you're going to do with it. You'll lose most every time if you try to make up your mind in the middle of a temptation what you're going to do with it. If you make up your mind ahead of time, if I'm tempted in this way, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to give in to that. I'm not going to submit to that. I'm not going to be deceived by that. I'm not going to be overcome by that. Why? Because God is faithful to provide the way of escape from this temptation. And so, he says, with temptation. And then that's where we get this passage of Scripture. It follows that up. And Paul says that one of the greatest ways that you can overcome temptation is to share in the cup of blessing. Now, what's the cup of blessing? And the cup of blessing is what we call communion. This is the cup of blessing, which we bless, and it's the sharing in the what? In the blood of Christ. You know, God has given us an incredible deposit of diversity in life. And our church is a church that mirrors diversity in life. The gift that God's given us in diversity is unity. And in unity, the thing that unifies us is that we are unified in the blood and the body of Jesus Christ. Amen? And so Paul says, is not the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not a sharing? Is it not, that's koinonia, is it not a fellowship? Is it not a communion in the blood of Jesus? And then he says, the bread. He says, the bread which we break, is it not also a sharing in the what? In the body of Christ. You know, today we're going to get to bring our diversity into unity through the body and the blood of Jesus. The juice that I hold in my hand will represent the blood of Jesus, the cup of blessing. You get to be blessed today by communing, by sharing with Jesus. Can we go back to that text, please, for just a minute? Go back to that text. And there's one body. There's one body, and that's the body of Christ. But all of us here today who've repented of our sins, we become part of that body through the blood of Jesus and our faith in Jesus. Now, the way that you overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil is by being united with Jesus Christ. He says, but I say the things which Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to what? To demons. Now, what we need to make sure today is that we are not making sacrifices to demons. Now you say, well, man, if a demon showed up to me, I wouldn't sacrifice anything to that. Well, that's just the point. A demon's not going to show up to you and say, hey, I'm a demon, I want you to sacrifice to me. The demon's going to attach itself to something you love more than God. A demon's going to hide behind something that you elevate higher than God. And the demon is going to get into that, and the demon is going to then work its way into your life. And so today, what I say to you is, don't become sharers in demons. Don't fellowship with demons. Don't have communion with demons. You say, well, how in the world can I overcome that? Well, there's six principles that I want to give you real quickly, okay? God has given us an incredible opportunity to make sure that we don't have communion with demons, that we have communion with Him, that we don't fellowship with demons, that we fellowship with Him. And so He's given the church two ordinances. Now, what's an ordinance? An ordinance is something that is a physical act of obedience that communicates spiritual truth. There are two physical acts of obedience that the church has been given to embrace, that every Christian has been given to embrace, and the physical acts of these obedience will communicate spiritual truth to you, to those who watch you, and to the spirit world which is around you. And so when you come to a communion service, whether it's in a church or whether it's in home or whether it's some other place, there are certain things that we are to keep in mind. There are certain things that ought to be a part of a communion service to make sure that you're not communing with demons. To make sure if there are any demons in the neighborhood, that you let them know you're not welcome in this hood. You got to go on to somebody else's hood. And so what's the first one? Well, anytime that we are going to share in the cup of blessing and share in the bread of blessing, then we need to make sure that it's a thankful service. We need to make sure that as we approach the bread and as we approach the juice, that it's a thankful service. In chapter 11, verse 24, it says, when Jesus had given what? When Jesus had given thanks, He broke it and said, this is My body which is given for you. Now, the Apostle Paul said that the first thing Jesus Christ did was He gave thanks. Now, if Jesus could be thankful before He gave His body, the least we could do is be thankful when we're about to receive His body. Amen? If Jesus could be thankful before He shed His blood, then the least we can do is be thankful because He shed His blood for us. Amen? One of the signs of the root of bitterness that we talked to you about last week is a person becomes ungrateful. And whenever pain in your past and whatever problems in your past have taken root inside of you, then it challenges you to be thankful. How often are you to be thankful? Be thankful at all times. There's a way that you can be thankful and there's a way that I can be thankful. And God has given us a physical act of obedience to see if we can pull out of us a spirit of thanksgiving. Amen? And in the book of Romans chapter 1, it describes a group of people that are reprobate. It describes a group of people that are as far from God as could be. And it says this about them. And neither were they thankful. You know, one of the things that shows that you are truly united in the body and the blood of Jesus is that you are a thankful individual. Being thankful for all things under God. You know, one of the things that God does is He uses our church to bless a lot of people in a lot of different ways. But you can ask our servants who volunteer their time and their heart to minister to our community. And not very many, but every now and then there's one or two that have absolutely no thanksgiving whatsoever. They are not thankful for the labor of love that the servants are using to give to minister to them. They're not thankful for the food that's been provided that week. And they begin to treat this like a grocery store. Well, you can go to the grocery store and get what you want, but this is not a grocery store. You know, this is a ministry, and we're seeking to minister in the name and power of Jesus Christ. And when Jesus took that bread in His hand, He broke it, and He gave thanks for being able to give His body for us. And when Jesus was getting ready to shed His blood on the cross, He gave thanks for it. Here's what I want you to do real quick. I want you to tell somebody around you something you're thankful for. Just right now, I want you to engage. Tell somebody around you something you're thankful for. Are you being like Jesus when you're thankful now? Oh, go ahead and tell them something you're thankful for. Oh, yeah. Go ahead and tell them two things you're thankful for. Oh, my goodness. Yes, sirree. So that's one of the ways that you keep from becoming a sharer in demons is you be thankful. And if you're not thankful, then demons are looking around, there's an ungrateful heart, and man, I can have my way with that. And so make sure as we have this physical act of obedience portraying a spiritual truth that you let God pull thanksgiving out of your heart and your spirit today. Amen? There's a second thing that I want to show you real quickly. Not only whenever we eat this bread and whenever we drink this juice, whenever we come together, whenever the sun rises, we ought to be thankful, but also we ought to make sure that it's a memorial service. We ought to make sure it's a memorial service. In chapter 11, verse 24, it says, "Do this in remembrance of whom?" Yeah, now we got to identify who me is in this verse, right? This is not, church is not about you. And church is not about me. Church is about Jesus. You know, life isn't about you. And life isn't about me. Life's about God. And we are born in this world unrelated to God. We have to be born again to become His children. And once you become children, then you understand that life is about Him. And so God has given us a physical act of obedience that would portray a spiritual truth. And one of the things that we come together around this physical act of obedience is we remind ourselves, this is to remember Jesus. This helps us to remember Jesus Christ. Can somebody say amen with me today? Now I want you to take a moment right now and tell somebody that's sitting close to you something that you remember about Jesus. I want you to remember Jesus now and tell somebody around you something about Jesus. Oh, you're being reminded about Him. Has He forgiven you of your sins? Does He love you unconditionally? Will He never leave you or forsake you? Just tell somebody it's about Jesus today. Oh, it's about Jesus today. I've got pains and I got problems, but it's not about me. It's about Jesus. I've got bills that are due, but it ain't about me. It's about Jesus. I've got rent that's behind, but it ain't about me. It's about Jesus. Oh, my goodness. It's a thankful day today, and it's a day to remember Jesus today. On the first day of the week, you're remembering Jesus. It's all about Him. And if you don't do that, if it's not all about Him, then you are likely to become a sharer in demons. Oh, my goodness. Number three, make sure that it's a memorial service. Make sure it's a thankful service. But number three, make sure it's a testimonial service. Oh my goodness, look at this. For often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, look at this. What's the capital letters in that verse? You, what's the word after proclaim? After you, sorry. What is the word after you? Proclaim. You're doing something today. You're proclaiming something today. You're testifying about something today. When you got up out of your bed, you proclaimed something today. When you put your clothes on today, you proclaimed something. When you got in your car or when you got out in your shoes and you began to walk to church, you proclaimed something today. When you came into the house of the Lord, you proclaimed something today. You testified to something today. You announced something today. And you proclaimed the what? The Lord's death. When you take this bread in your hand and you take this juice in the cup, you are proclaiming, you're testifying, this is the Lord's body, this is the Lord's blood, and it was given for me. Oh my goodness. Please notice what the Apostle Paul says about eating the bread and drinking the juice. He says, if you eat the bread, if you drink the juice in an unworthy manner, you are immediately going to become something. And what? Guilty. If you do it in an unworthy manner, you're going to be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Now, what's an unworthy manner? If you were to eat this bread and drink this juice without being thankful, that'd be unworthy. If you were to eat this bread and drink this juice without knowing it's all about Jesus, that'd be an unworthy manner. But if you were to eat this bread and to drink this juice without identifying with what the bread and the juice represents, that'd be in an unworthy manner. Here's the two things that you're testifying to today. You're testifying that there's been a time and a place where you realized that you were a sinner by nature. And life and the choices you've made in life have confirmed you're sinful. Anybody here not convinced you're sinful? Is anybody here that convinced that you haven't sinned? I want to tell you, if you have reached any age, if you've reached any level of knowledge and understanding, and you don't think that you've sinned and you've sinned big time, the Holy Spirit's got more work to do on you than anybody else. But what we realize is, what we have to realize is it our sin nature, not a particular sin that we committed, but our sin nature has separated us from God. You're born without a relationship to God. You have a faint knowledge of Him, as in everybody. But you have to be born again to have a relationship with Him. And until you realize that your sin nature has separated you from God, then you haven't identified with His body and with His blood. But there has to come a time and a place where you realize that you're a sinner. Your sin has separated you from God. And if you die in your condition, you're going to spend eternity away from God. But you realize the gift of God is eternal life. And by grace through faith, you are saved. And so you repent of your sins and you place your faith in the finished work of Jesus, and you become a child of God. And so when you take the bread and you take the juice, you're testifying, I've been saved by grace through faith. It wasn't of myself. It was a gift from God. Amen? And if you know that you haven't been saved, and you take the bread and you take the juice and you drink it, then you would be doing it in an unworthy manner. And immediately, God says you would become guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. In other words, that'd be a sin that the Holy Spirit would help you identify with just how much you need the body and the blood of Jesus. But there's a second way of us testifying today, real quickly, is not only that we are saved by grace through faith, but we're testifying that as far as we know, there's not any unconfessed sin in our life. In other words, let me say it to you this way. As you sit here today, that there's no knowledge that in your life of there's sin that you've committed that you haven't confessed to God. Now, if you're really struggling about whether there's any unconfessed sin in your life, let me give you help. If you're married, ask your spouse if there's any unconfessed sin in your life. If you're having a hard time figuring out what this voice is that's telling you about this sin, let me tell you, I've been married for 38 years now. Got saved when I was 25 years old, and the longer that I'm saved and the longer that I'm married, the one thing I've come to recognize is that the voice of God sounds an awful lot like the voice of my wife. So, when you are going to participate in the bread and the juice, make sure it's a testimonial service. Now, I'm going to give you a chance in just a few minutes, if you've never been saved, to get saved. And I'm going to give you a chance in just a few minutes that if there is some unconfessed sin in your life, I'm going to give you a chance to confess it. Oh, not to me. I'm not that kind of priest. I'm going to give you a chance to confess it to God. He's that kind of priest. He is the one who can cleanse you of all of that sin that you've not confessed. Amen? All right. So, real quickly, number four, make sure that it is a memorial service, a testimonial service. Make sure it's a thankful service. But number four, make sure it's an evangelistic service. What is that? Killed it, whatever it was. Make sure it's an evangelistic service. Look at what it says. You proclaim. That word for proclaim is the word for announcing good news. You announce good news. What's the good news that we announce today? And that is the Lord's what? The Lord's death. It wasn't just any old death. It was a sacrificial death. It wasn't just a sacrificial death. It was a substitutionary death. That means He died in your place. He did what you couldn't do. But not only was it a substitutionary death and a sacrificial death, it was a satisfactory death. That means that you couldn't die for my sin, I couldn't die for your sin, it wouldn't be satisfactory to God. But when Jesus died, He satisfied the righteous demands of God, and God said, I'll take your payment for these sins, and I'm going to raise you from the dead. When you take this bread, when you take this juice, you are announcing the Lord's death. And this ought to be one of the most evangelistic services the church ever has. Why? Because hundreds of people are testifying to the fact that Jesus died for my sin and He died for yours too. Jesus rose from the dead for my sin. He rose from the dead for yours as well. Jesus saved my soul and He'll save your soul too. And it's the blood of Jesus and the body of Jesus that will make you whole on the inside. So we make it an evangelistic service, and in just a moment we're going to let you receive the good news. So that's the great thing. If God has shown you that your life is empty, and marriage won't fill your life, success won't fill your life, wealth won't fulfill your life, health won't fulfill your life, nothing, children won't fulfill your life, but Jesus will fulfill your life, you can invite Jesus to fill that void in your life, and you'll be made whole. You'll be made clean. And you will be saved by God's grace. All of your life, God's been preparing you for today. But there's a sixth thing, a fifth thing that I want to show you. It ought to be, now here's a good one. Make sure it's an eschatological service. Oh my goodness, I'd make it one, preacher, if I knew what it was. You proclaim the Lord's death until what? Oh my goodness, I don't think you got that yet. Do you know we're not going to have to do this forever? We do this by faith right now. Right now, this is a physical act of obedience that demonstrates the spiritual truth, but there's coming a time when He who went away is coming back. There's coming a time when He who ascended up into heaven is going to descend back down to earth. There's coming a time when every wrong thing that's ever been done is going to be put right. There's a time when every evil, foul thing is going to be bound up and cast away from your presence forever and ever. There's coming a time when the sin that you've committed, when the suffering that you've experienced, when the sorrow that you've known is going to be destroyed, because He who died, He who rose, He who ascended is coming back again. And when He comes back again, He is going to make all things right. But until then, we keep identifying with the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus. Oh, there's a seventh thing, a sixth thing that we need to do now. We need to make sure it's an examinational service. If we're not going to be sharers in demons, we're going to have to make sure that it's an examinational service. He says, but a man or a woman must what? Examine himself. Now, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of you that like to examine me and show me my shortcomings. I might want to examine you and show you some of yours, but that's not how this works today. But every man, every woman must examine himself or herself. And in so doing, what? In examining yourself, what you're doing is you're listening to that small, still voice that sounds a lot like your wife. Or your husband, or your children. You're listening for that small, still voice of God that's saying, you know, this was sin. And when you hear the small, still voice of God, you don't say, what? That was sin? You know that was sin. And it very well may be that up until now, for some reason, the receptors have not been clear on your hearing or mine. And you really haven't heard God say that what you did last night, that was sin. But today, right now, God's saying, can you hear me now? And He's wanting to make sure that you know that that thing that you did, that was sin. And if you don't deal with that thing that you did that was sin, demons are looking for a way to advance in your life. And don't become sharers in demons. Examine yourself. And then you eat of the bread and you drink of the cup. Because if you eat and you drink this in pretense, if you eat and drink this in pride, because you don't want somebody next to you to say, well, he didn't drink the juice. I wonder what awful sin he's eating. You know, she didn't eat that bread. You know, this is not that kind of place. They're all up and down the other places out there. You can go to those. This is not one of those. This is between you and God. This is between me and God. And if you eat and you drink in an unworthy manner, you eat and drink judgment on yourself. And then he goes on to say, he says, but if we would be judged, verse 31, he's verse 30, he says, for this reason, for not examining yourself, for not confessing your known sins, many among you are what? Weak and what? Sick. And a number sleep or died. But if we judged ourselves correctly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are what? Disciplined. By whom? By the Lord. So that we will not be condemned along with the world. Oh my goodness. I don't want you to be sharers in demons. I want you to be united with Christ. God says that if we confess our sin, He's faithful and He's just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, if you have never been saved by grace, I'm going to give you a chance to do that right now. I'm going to ask everyone to pray this prayer out loud with me. This is just a time of encouragement for everybody. Now, what I'm going to ask you to do is that if as you're sitting there and you know you haven't been saved by grace through faith, this is between you and God. Here's what I want to remind you about salvation. You're not saved by praying a prayer. You're saved by repenting of your sins and placing your faith in God. Now, a prayer is simply a tool that God's given us to express in our heart to God. Prayer is a way that we surrender to God. And so if this prayer is for you to be saved by grace through faith, then God knows it and God accepts it. Here it is. God, I'm a sinner. And I believe that Jesus is God and He died on the cross to pay for my sin. I turn from my sin and I turn to Jesus. From this moment forward, I put Jesus first in my life. Thank you for saving my soul. All right. Now there's the prayer. Now, when I say this, I want everybody here to say it out loud. Everybody will say it out loud. And God knows how to make the distinction between those who needed to get saved and those who are just giving a testimony. All right? So right now, would you say this out loud? God, I am a sinner. I believe that Jesus is God. And He died on the cross to pay for my sin. I turn from my sin and I turn to Jesus. From this moment forward, I put Jesus first in my life. Thank you for saving my soul.
You've been listening to a message from Truth Tabernacle of Praise. We encourage you to explore the many sermons available on our website, www.truthtabernacle.net. If you'd like more information and you're listening in the United States, please call 404-297-7700. That's 404-297-7700. Or send an email to info@truthtabernacle.net. Again, that's info@truthtabernacle.net. We would love to hear about how this message has encouraged you in some way. For those living around or visiting the Metro Atlanta area, we invite you to attend in person. You'll find the music refreshing and the people friendly and inviting. Join us for worship this Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Truth Tabernacle of Praise is located at 5705 Memorial Drive in Stone Mountain, Georgia. Thanks again for listening, and may God bless you.